You're listening to New England Public Radio. A very old system is still in use at about 800 wastewater treatment plants in the U.S., including along the Connecticut River. It's called Combined Sewage Overflow. What overflows is a mix of stormwater, street runoff, and raw sewage. And every wastewater treatment plant by law has a long-term plan to over the next few decades end their use. But every city and town is different, and just how different is playing out on a short stretch of the Connecticut River between Springfield and Hartford. New England Public Radio's Jill Kaufman reports.
First, it's important to know this. The Environmental Protection Agency is running 17 years late on a pollution permit for Springfield's 20 or so combined sewer overflows into the Connecticut River. The permit details how many gallons of CSO is allowed per year. The amount in a new permit would likely be less than what it is right now. Here on the river in Springfield, you can find some CSOs easily enough if you know where to look.
It's a concrete box with an opening, so it doesn't
Andrea
look like
Donlin
a pipe.
Andrea Donlin from the Connecticut River Conservancy suggested we grab some kick scooters to travel down the bike path behind the Basketball Hall of Fame to Union Street CSO 15A and B. We climb over a fence, go down the embankment, and check it out. Donlin is looking at a spreadsheet with overflow data from 2016.
The bigger one that we're standing over discharged 18 times in that year, and the volume was estimated to be 4.9 million gallons. So that's a fair amount.
When it rains or even just drizzles, these pipes can discharge raw sewage into the water here. It's mixed with stormwater and runoff from streets all coming together in one system. The idea behind CSOs, which were built long before the sweeping 1970s Clean Water Act, was to avoid sending raw sewage into streets or basements. And in the 1980s, as towns and cities continued to address their long polluted waterways, the EPA told wastewater treatment plants they needed to end the use of CSOs. A tall order, especially with no federal funding from EPA. What's Springfield doing about it?
Yeah, we have a huge $100 million cornerstone project that's in design.
Josh Schimmel, who runs Springfield Water and Sewer, has an office window that gives him a ringside view to the second largest wastewater treatment plant on the Connecticut River.
Before we started this program, we were probably close to 700 million gallons a year, I think, of CSO overflow into the Connecticut River on an average annual year. And after we complete this project, I think we're going to be in the 275 to 350 range.
At this point, it's not clear if that amount will be within the limits of a new pollution permit. Hartford, about 30 miles downstream from Springfield, is also addressing its sewage overflow. The Hartford MDC, the Metropolitan District Commission, is building an enormous tunnel that on those rainy days will hang on to the sewage water until the treatment plant has the capacity to clean it up. The cost, including other plant upgrades, is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Robert Moore, a former administrator at Connecticut's Department of Energy and Environment, says what a lot of other river watchers say, Springfield should be held to the same level of investment.
Their program was to spend about $100 or $150 million total, and Hartford spending $100 million a year.
Hartford's massive project got started when EPA took the city's water authority to court for pollution violations. In 2006, the MDC was ordered to undergo big, very specific changes.
I understand where Connecticut's coming from.
George Hawkins was, up until recently, the head of DC Water, which is completing the first phase of a massive tunnel project to reduce combined sewer overflows in Washington. The cost? Billions of dollars, paid for by loans, grants, and customers who've seen their rates triple in the last decade. In one respect, Hawkins says, D.C. is sort of like Connecticut.
We're near the bottom end, the Potomac River and the Anacostia before it goes to the Chesapeake. We are spending enormous sums of money doing our part. Well, at some point, there's no more we can do here because the water coming to us from upstream already got contaminants in it.
But Hawkins says not every city can do what Boston did, what D.C. is doing, and what Hartford is doing.
From the perspective of Springfield or any municipality that is not flush with cash and where they're going to come up with the money to do projects of this scale, I'm also sympathetic.
In Hartford, a regional wastewater treatment plant, Almost all of its customers from the city and surrounding towns are paying into the plant upgrade. In Springfield, even though it's also a regional plant, Josh Schimmel says only its city customers pay for the CSO work, and they can't afford it. Plus, there's so much else that needs to be upgraded.
You know, we probably have 200 miles of pipe that is greater than 75 years old within our water and our sewer system.
And on the day I was in Schimmel's office,
we had a water main break this morning with exploding manholes. Our infrastructure is so old that you can't look away for a second.
That old infrastructure is all over New England. Andy Fisk, who runs the Connecticut River Conservancy, says Springfield should find a way to get those towns to help pay for upgrades and maintenance. He respects the Water and Sewer Commission is being careful with its money and that it has many issues to deal with.
But we think what their solutions are is too short-sighted and not comprehensive enough.
Fisk says it would be logical if pollution regulations, permits, and funding for infrastructure upgrades happened regionally. He likes to think like a fish when it comes to clean water regulation. Swimming upstream, a fish doesn't know when it's crossed from Connecticut into Massachusetts. That should be the model for state and federal regulators. As for why EPA went 17 years without issuing a new pollution permit for Springfield, Fisk says it's not clear.
For reasons that may be obvious, and others that sort of people are scratching their heads. And I think when you look at Massachusetts and Connecticut, they are very different applications of EPA's authorities and policies between the two states.
Three states give the federal EPA the authority to issue pollution permits. Massachusetts is one of them. In Connecticut, the state is in charge. And around the country, when state government has control of permitting, there is closer oversight of water systems. That costs states a lot of money, but Connecticut has grant money for CSO upgrades, and Massachusetts doesn't. For New England Public Radio, I'm Jill Kaufman.